Welcome to episode 220 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. In this week's show, I'm following up on something I touched upon in the last episode. Specifically, it's the idea that as photographers, as creators of content that is designed to be shared with a wide audience, we should very much be open to receiving criticism. Now, I fully appreciate it can be all too easy to go on the defensive when others comment on our work, especially if that work is close to our hearts. But in order to move forward, we must learn to turn any negative feedback into positive, which can then be used to our advantage. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 220. It's just coming up to quarter to midday, and I am sat in my office. Now, of course, a lot of my recordings are made out in the field, on location, whilst I'm taking pictures or wandering around and all that sort of thing. But today, something a little bit different that follows on from last week's podcast, which, as those of you who listened will remember, was discussing a talk which I gave to a camera club all about adventure on your doorstep, you know, taking really striking pictures that are, you know, just close to where you live without having to go far, without having to have big trips abroad or to big mountain ranges, you know, exploring your local area to get striking outdoors images. And the reason that this is on my mind is for a number of reasons, actually. I have been pretty much locked into my office for much of this past week. I've had deadlines that I've had to be working towards. I've got stuff coming up over the coming weeks, people I've had to liaise with to do with shoots and all this sort of thing. And so I've had a lot of time to, you know, just think over things, and there's stuff that I'm planning for the beginning of next year, even stuff that I'm going to be bringing you guys and all this sort of stuff. And I was thinking about my talk and other talks I'm going to be giving and all this sort of thing. And I'm not sure if, I suppose I've probably touched on this in the past, but one of the skills as a photographer of any level, I believe, is the need to learn how to receive criticism and feedback. Now, when I say criticism, that can be both positive and negative. And hopefully, most of the time, it's positive. When you do receive negative criticism, it's your job to turn that into a positive for yourself. It's no point getting down in the dumps and, you know, really fed up or even angry at people. You need to take it on board and make good come out of it. Now, just to give you a bit of backstory to this, in line with my talk that I gave, I've actually got on my computer in front of me, I've got the presentation. So I've got a reference here to all the pictures that I ran through, that I talked about. And in total, there were 77 slides on this presentation. When I say slides, I mean a digital, like a page that was projected, as opposed to traditional slide film slide. You get the idea. Anyway, something that came out of the presentation is, whilst the feedback was very good, so I was told, that there was a feeling among some members of the audience that they it didn't quite work for them, which is fair enough. And I made a point of saying to the organizers, I said, well, look, you know, my presentations are quite lively, they're very down to earth, they're probably not necessarily what your club members are used to, because in my experience as well, you go to these talks, whether it's at camera clubs or whether it's at big expos or any sort of seminar or what have you, and a lot of the time, whether it's photography or any other industry, you get the you get the expert, as it were, standing there talking about their work. And it is very much a case of, you know, I'm the expert. I'm here to talk about my work. Just sit there and listen. And it's a case of they will run through the slides, showcasing their work or giving some stories behind the pictures or what have you. And it's very much a one-sided thing. So for me, I stood there and right from the start, I said, look, if you've got any questions as we go along, you know, I want you to ask, I want you to stop me, talk about the individual pictures, or if you want me to go back and look at a picture or what have you, you know, it's a two-way thing. And that's how I like to give my presentations. And I think for some in the audience, that was a bit of a shock to the system, and they weren't pre-warned. And I think that they kind of almost wanted to just be talked at. Not all of them, but just there's some of them, which is fine. You know, there again, that's me taking on the feedback. But there are a number of pictures in particular that came up in my presentation that I actually stopped myself and I said to people, right, here's this picture. This is maybe how it was lit. This is this, that, and the other. This is the person that was doing this thing. What do we think? And I want to take as an example a shot in front of me here. Excuse me. It's a young guy on a bike, like a pedal bike, like BMX sort of thing. It's actually a trials bike. And he's in the air having done a 360-degree flip around like a rotation off a set of steps. And there's trees in the background. There's the steps there and what have you. Now, just to clarify, in a technical point of view on this shot, there was the lighting considerations, the flash froze, the movement. I believe from memory, it was something like F8, F11. So the depth of field had to be, because I didn't know exactly where he was going to be spinning, exactly the point. I had to allow a bit of, extra depth of field so that to make sure that he was nice and sharp. Now, I know that having seen shots of this type in, say, BMX magazines or extreme sports magazines, it fits in with that. And the difference between the way maybe a professional photographer shoots and the way that an enthusiast who is very much concerned with getting exactly the technical, exactly right, almost by the book, and you learn to break the rules. I can see how this picture didn't fit in, but I said to him, so what do we think? And there were two things that came from this. One was, and I fully welcomed this feedback. And I said to her, I said, look, you know, I'm not going to take it personally. Just I want to have the conversation, the debate over this. What do we think? And one of the bits of feedback was that the background, they wanted it to be more out of focus, the trees. And why didn't I throw the focus out more? And as I say, you know, there were considerations with depth of field, and then you had the proximity of the trees behind the guy on the bike, which was, it was a valid point, and I you know, made that clear. But then there was also this fact that where the guy is up in the air spinning around, what have you, he is looking sort of down towards the ground, and you can see his head, you can see that it's there, but someone did say, look, I would like to have seen more of his face. From what I can see, he hasn't got a head. Now, he has, and you can clearly see that he has, but that person was sat quite, you know, a little way back, and I can see how it might have been lost, you know, on the night in the room, what have you. But the point being, I am, you know, when I was at university, and I studied photography at university, and I'm not for a moment suggesting that everyone should go to university. I think university and college courses do a great job for many reasons, but of course the best way to improve your photography is just to get out there and do it, and doing a course is not necessarily a guarantee that you're going to end up as a working photographer. myself, as I've explained in the past, if I did it all over again, yes, I got something out of it, but it was all about how we look at pictures rather than the technical side. So in that sense, I didn't get a lot out of it. Anyway, I digress. When I was at university, one of the things that did come out of that was this importance of being open to feedback. Now, we it was a modular-based course, and we used to have critique sessions at the end of each module, and it could have been maybe a 4-week or an 8-week module, or latterly I think it was maybe 16 weeks, and you'd have mini tutor sessions all the way through that, you know, to make sure you're keeping on course and to share your ideas and hear what your tutor had to say. And of course, along the way, you were encouraged to be there with your fellow students and say, you know, what do you think of this? And how could I change this? How could I improve it? What do you think? So it was kind of instilled in us that you need to be open to criticism. And the critique sessions we had, they were fierce sometimes. I always remember on one occasion, there was one person that they ended up walking out of the room in tears because they were, I don't remember exactly, but they were so either set on their, you know, the pictures they produced, they were so close, they were so attached to them, or they just didn't have the answers to the people giving the criticism, that they just, all they could do was just walk out the room. And I came up against it myself. There were times where, you know, I was desperately trying to justify my work and just people weren't having it, whether they were just very opinionated or maybe I was just falling a bit short of the mark. But that was the whole point. You had to be open and willing to, even if you didn't agree, just be willing to hear the feedback. And as I say, this is something which I think is, I don't know, I think it's either lacking, or I think photographers of all levels, whether that's someone that's just starting out, someone that's an accomplished enthusiast, or someone that's a semi-pro or professional, almost, you know, we all like to think that we produce the best work that we can, and we like to think that it conveys the message and is going to be well accepted by our audience. Now, purely from a statistical point of view, it stands to reason that you're not going to be able to please all of the people all the time, and not everyone is going to see things from your point of view. Now, I'm going to do something here which I've just thought of on sort of on the spot. I've got here, as a lot of you know, I love the history of photography, and as you would imagine, I've got a lot of books containing a lot of work by a lot of great photographers. So I'm just going to grab a couple of books and use those as an example. So bear with me one second. I've got one book there, and let's just have a look at... let's see... this one. No, I'm trying to find a specific book here. Now, where is it? Bear with me. Things are a little bit sort of out of place at the moment. Here we go. Right. I've got a few boxes sort of kicking around here, which are kind of in the way. So, right, I'm going to start with someone whose work I'm interested in, and I might allude to something that's going to be going on later in the week, actually, might be of interest. So, a lot of you have heard of the photojournalist Robert Capa, very well known, very well established, you know, he, you know, documenting the Spanish Civil War, the D-Day landings is a very well-known image. It was an image which, you know, he risked his life to get this shot of the troops sort of wading up onto the beach. And in the process, I believe the darkroom technician I think the temperature of the solutions was too high, and actually the emulsion of the film started to melt a bit, I think. Someone will probably correct me. And that's why this very iconic image has got this kind of sort of shadowy sort of look to it. Am I going to be able to find this in here? I'm not sure if it's even in this book, actually. Here we go. Oops. But this is a lovely book, which I've been, you know, I've been meaning to read this for some time, and I just haven't managed to. I flicked through it, but I just haven't managed to find the time to properly give it the attention it needs. So it's Robert Capa. For those of you that are interested, I'll try to link to it in the show notes. Robert Capa, The Paris Years, 1933 to 1954. Okay, so we're talking about giving feedback and all that sort of thing. Now, of course, Robert Capa is no longer around. I can't give him direct feedback or anything like that. That's not the point. But, you know, I look at a picture here which has got two young boys cycling along a road, and the picture's a little bit soft. It's not exactly straight. The lighting is just daylight. It's, you know, But does that matter? You know, I can appreciate it for what it is. You have to bear in mind the technical considerations at the time with film and cameras and all that sort of thing. I'm going to just skip through. Let's have a look here. You've got, again, sort of people sort of walking along down a dusty track. You know, you can see their expressions on their face, the angst, and, you know, there's a bit of blur with where they're walking. You have to look at the context, and, you know, with pictures that appear in magazines or books or papers, sometimes that one picture is all you get and there's a quick caption. But if you look at the picture before you get to have the back story to that, does it deliver to the audience, you know, what is intended? Now, you know, there are other pictures in here. There are pictures which I believe were used for sort of propaganda or for, you know, to spread the message in whichever way. But, you know, I'm not going to dwell too much on that, because it's the point being, I can see and I can research and I can try to learn as best I can about how Robert Capa went about creating these pictures. But there are going to be shots in that book which just don't do it for me. I think, well, you know, I know the technical considerations of the time, but even so, couldn't he have done this? And, you know, obviously if you're dodging bullets, you can't always line up the picture as best you like. That's not the point. You know, there are pictures where you think, given everything, all the confines, all the considerations, surely he could have maybe done this or done that. And I'm sure at the time, you know, he would have been open to, you know, having those conversations, maybe in, you know, in cafes with fellow photographers, sitting and talking about their experiences, talking about assignments they've just completed, or even the cameras that they were using. But, you know, so a lot of you will be aware of Robert Capa. Some of you won't. I would strongly suggest, again, I'll link to probably a Wikipedia page or something in the show notes. I do encourage you to go and find his work and see what you think. And let me know as well, because, you know, it's all subjective. It's all personal. I particularly like his work, but you may not. So the next book I've got here, like I said, I've just got two. This is by a contemporary photographer, which a lot of you will be familiar with, a guy called Joe McNally. And a lot of you know that Joe McNally, you know, shoots for the likes of National Geographic and all this sort of thing. And you will be aware of his work through workshops that he does and all that sort of thing. But this book here, it's from a few years ago. This was from, hang on. 2008. Gosh, I didn't realize it was that long ago. The Moment It Clicks: Photography Secrets from One of the World's Top Shooters. Okay, and this book, what I liked about this book was the fact that, you know, he's previewing, showing you these pictures, but he's talking through how they came about, and also touching upon the technical side of things and some of the constraints, and, you know, about the characters that he's documenting. So can I pick out an example, someone that you may be aware of? It's always a way, isn't it, when you're trying to find when you're trying to find it. Oh, here we go. So there's a picture here of let me see here. Oops. Tony Bennett, the singer. Okay. And it's a very simply lit shot. I'm not going to go through, you know, everything that's written here, but very simply lit, from what I gather, just one light sort of going at almost 90 degrees to him. He stood there with a microphone, very pensive. And from, if you imagine we're looking at him and his head is going three quarters, almost completely directly at right angles to the light, which is off to the left as we view the shot. And but from the last sort of quarter or so of his head, so from sort of his cheek over to the back of his head, that all drops off into shadow. Now, I happen to think that it's a nice shot. The way it's printed here, the very top of his head, his hair is just cropped off. You know, you've got sort of from his forearm, where he's holding the microphone in front of his face, down to his forearm is where it's out at, and then it's cropped off and is cropped over one of his shoulders. So it's a tight crop. Now, I happen to think that it's quite nice. It's an intimate shot. It's pensive. Like I say, the light is very simple, and you do know that I like the simple approach. Now, a lot of you might look at that and think, well, it's too dark. The background is black, or certainly I think it's black. If it's not, it's just a very dark background. A lot of you will look at it and think, well, it's something about the composition doesn't work for you, or you don't like how, you know, he drops off into shadow so almost abruptly, some would say. Now, I don't know Joe McNally personally, but I do know that, you know, he's a very open photographer. He's one of these people that encourages feedback and likes to hear from his students or people that look at his pictures to see what they think. And he's always opening the dialogue to encourage that conversation. So that's just a couple of references. I'm going to go back to my pictures just to kind of almost finish off in a way. And like I say, there aren't a lot of points in today's show. It's quite a simple topic, I guess. And I do welcome your feedback, your opinions on this. If you're absolutely brutally honest with yourself, are you the sort of photographer that you take the pictures, your view is you take the pictures for yourself, and that's the important thing? As long as you're happy with them, that's all that matters. Now, that in itself, there's nothing wrong with that. A lot of photographers do that, and you have to ask yourself, why are you taking those pictures in the first place? If you're doing it because you love the medium of photography and it pleases you, and some people don't even show their pictures to family members. It's a very private, very personal thing. Or they might just show them occasionally. If you are that sort of photographer, I'd like to hear from you, because I'm interested to hear what the reasons are behind that. And maybe I've hit the nail on the head by saying that it's for, you know, by you, for you. Or are you one of those who takes the pictures and you just put them out on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or whatever it might be, and you await the feedback? Now, for a lot of photographers, of course, it's a bit of a vanity thing doing that. It's a case of saying, here's a picture I've taken, I think it's brilliant. And essentially, a lot of photographers are basically saying, I want you to tell me how great I am and how great this picture is too. I'm obviously not one of those. And those people are very, very, can be quite guarded. or they love it until the point someone says, do you know what? Sorry, but I don't see it. Now, as, like I say, at that point, you either say, oh, okay, fair point. You can't, you know, not every picture is going to suit everyone or the style of taking the picture or what have you. But thank you for looking. Or, you know, I value your opinion. Whilst I may not agree, it's good that you took the time to comment. You know, it's... I'm very keen that, you know, photography is one of these mediums where pictures are no good unless they are seen. They are there to be shared. And sometimes they are there for a very practical reason. It might be to document the news or to, you know, photographs are all about telling stories, right? So it might be a documentary project designed to highlight or raise awareness, or it, you know, even if it's just a photography project, you know, pushing your own creative boundaries by setting yourself a project to work on. So I'm looking at these pictures here, and you know, there are things that even with that shot with the guy on the bike, you know, I did say at the time, there are things about that that I, if I went back again and did it, I might change. Now, I cannot remember off the top of my head whether I do have, with that particular shot, I don't remember whether I do have shots in the sequence where the background was more out of focus. Chances are I do, but I can't remember. So all I had to go on was this one picture. So that was that. You know, and that got quite a bit of feedback, which was nice. There's also another shot, if I can find it. And I didn't get into the technical so much on all of these. There are a couple of shots in a row. Again, just pure coincidence. It was people on or concerned with bikes. So there's a picture of a guy here sat with a scramble bike. And it's, you know, technically, again... someone in the audience really wanted to know about the lighting. And this is not unusual with members of camera clubs where it's all about trying to, you know, push your photography to get the technical, you know, nailed down to improve your technique and share those pictures within your friends in the club and get that feedback. It's a very open way of doing it. So it's not surprising that with this picture, which is a very simple picture, that it was the technical, and in this case about the lighting and the post-production, it's not surprising that that's what was targeted. But then the following picture was, and I've spoken about this before, there's a guy on a bike doing a wall ride. So from an absolute sort of level ground, he jumped up and sort of whooshed around on this vertical wall before dropping down, and that was that. And it was a one shot take whereby there was a one light lighting something in the background. He's to camera right, and one flash just direct bare bulb firing straight at the wall, and it gives this really nice graphic shadow of the shape of him on the bike. And it's quite nice, it's quite abstract. Now, because of the location, there is a wall which was very close to... He went along the wall, and then there's almost like a pillar that the wall projected out. And the shadow is actually part of one of the wheels is partially cut off just a little bit. And every time that I show this picture, whether it be at a camera club or a bigger exhibition or anything like that, and I have the chance to talk directly to the audience, I always say, right, show of hands, there's no right or wrong. Do you think that I should have ensured that the whole of that shadow from that wheel was visible, or does it add something to the picture? And I try not to give them too much of an answer, but what I'm getting at is, you know, does it create this sense of... not urgency, but the fact that there's this wall that if he didn't get it right, he'd probably run into? Or do you think that, as from a technical point of view, you think, oh, well, that's rubbish, he should have at least tried to get the whole of the shadow in? So I always put that in there. And I think, just going back to the talk, I think that's something that maybe threw people, was again, if they're used to, I don't know, if they're used to people standing there just talking about their pictures for 90 minutes and not being open to debate on their own pictures, maybe that's just something that was a little bit strange. And, you know, I was told at the start of the evening that this was a slightly different format. So for those of the people that were there that it didn't quite work for, you know, it's, I think that's probably one of the reasons. But, you know, I don't wish I did it any other way. I'm not one of these speakers that stands there and just blurts out loads of stuff about, oh, look at my lovely pictures, aren't they great? And you just sit there and listen. That's not my approach. And regular listeners to this show will know that. So like I say, that it's quite a simple topic, the one of why photographers should realise they need to be open and share, you know, be open to feedback. Please don't get the word criticism tied up with feedback and associate criticism as being solely negative. A lot of the time we do think that criticism is exactly that. It's a criticism of your work, or it could be anything. It could be a song, a musician, or a car. You know, car designers that spend, you know, hours upon hours upon hours crafting the fine lines or the engine or whatever of these cars, and it comes out to either critical acclaim, or it just sort of fizzles away and people kind of think, yeah, it was just another car, or it just hits the nail on the head, where it is just, from that moment on, the moment it hits the market, it is seen as a modern day classic, or a, you know, years later, a classic design. There will always be haters, there will always be fans, there will always be people that are willing to stand there in a crowd and pipe up, you know, put their hand up and say, I don't agree with this, or that, do you know what were you thinking, that's, you know, that's rubbish, what, you know, I don't even know why you're showing us this picture. Now that didn't happen the other evening, but how do you deal with that? Do you, I'm not saying you're going to go away and think, well, forget that, you know, I know what I believe and what have you. If you're human, it will sit in your mind for a while and you will be sort of going over it and thinking about it. But the difference between photographers who move on, especially if you're looking to build a career as a photographer, you need to know that you're going to come across this, you know, you're going to come across this from time to time. But the difference between those that progress and move forward in their photography, either as an enthusiast or as a professional, and those that just kind of stagnate and just lose momentum, is the difference is those that turn negatives into positives and those that just let it affect them so much that they dwell on it. And, you know, I'll be honest, when I finished my course, I kind of went through the mill quite a lot. And at one point I was quite disillusioned with the whole process, and it got to a point where I actually didn't want, you know, having taken pictures for years as a hobby and really loving photography, that's why I wanted to do the course. I ended up actually not wanting to pick up a camera for a while and not want to take pictures, which for someone that's having to show their work and constantly take pictures and develop film, because there wasn't so much the digital then, it was only the very early days and no one knew, understood it. The fact that you had to keep going, that was a real problem. And you didn't have the opportunity necessarily to walk away from it, short of quitting the course or going AWOL, you couldn't take the time to walk away and just get your thoughts together and let time be the healer. So I hope that's been useful. Like I say, in the you know, true to the nature of this show, I welcome feedback. Whatever your views are, you know, let me know. Have you had similar things, or, you know, even recently or in the past? I want to, you know, this is our community is a great one, and I'm very fortunate that I've created the Active Photographer as more and more as a platform to share conversations and hear views and answer questions and put out content that you're going to want to listen to, view, read, all that sort of thing. So do get in touch. Like I said, I hope you've enjoyed this. I hope it's answered a few questions or maybe raised a few others. But for now, I will leave it there. If you didn't listen to last week's show, please do. It'll give you much more context to the topic discussed here. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.